Gemma said, we are continuing in our series on resurrection faith. And in the first week, I was preaching at the 10:30 service. We were still following the same in the 9 o'clock. And we looked at Peter and John and the healing of the crippled man. And I particularly focused in my talk on the fact that when God moves, it gives opportunity for us to speak of our Christian faith. And that's exactly what happened to Peter and John. And it says up to 5,000 people came to faith that day, which is amazing. And then last week we looked at the story of Stephen, that incredibly brave man, so passionate and full of God, not holding back, wanting to preach the word of God to everybody that he came across. And he was known for his the miracles and signs and wonders. And he ended up losing his life, didn't he? He was the first martyr of the Christian faith. And this week, like we said, we're looking at the story of Lydia and her conversion to the Christian faith. So before we get into all of that, let's just commit this time to the Lord. Let's just pray. Father God, would you help us to open our hearts and minds to hear your word this morning and to respond to it as you want us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So before I get into that story, I have a question for you. Do you like being interrupted? Do you like being stopped in your tracks, having to change your plans at the last minute or halfway through something? And what I'm thinking of particularly is if you were going on a journey, maybe you're going on holiday or you've got a business trip or you're just going to see a friend and you've planned your journey and you're on the motorway and you're halfway along and everything's going well. And suddenly you notice that the traffic is slowing and suddenly everybody is being encouraged to come off at the next junction and you've got to take an A or a B road and all your plans have come to nothing. You are stopped in your tracks. You have to divert. You have to change the way you go. The destination is still the same. The goal is still the same of your journey, but it's going to take a totally different route. How do you cope with that sort of interruption, this type of diversion? Are you fairly laid back about it, happy just to be able to keep moving? And because you know you're going to get there in the end? Or does it irritate you, really annoy you, deflate you, as it's ruined your holiday mood? You were all excited and now it's like, how long is this going to take? Well, the story of Lydia comes about due to an interruption, a diversion in Paul's plan for his second missionary trip. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, at the beginning of chapter 16, or rather from verse 6, if you've got your Bibles and want to open and follow, are hoping to go into Asia Minor. They're hoping to go into some of the towns around them. But they start to find they're being forbidden to speak the gospel, it says. Where they had intended to go, there was one particular place, Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter. How this played out, we're not sure. What we do know is Silas had a gift of prophecy. So maybe when they got together and they were praying, Silas would feel the Lord speak really clearly and maybe he'd share it. And between the three of them, they would weigh it up and then say, yeah, God is saying, don't go here, don't enter there. One thing is clear. Their plans have come to a sudden halt. They're not going to be entering the places where they thought they might go. And then Paul has a vision. In verse 9, in the night, and it says he sees a man from Macedonia, totally different area, right across the water. This man is pleading with him to come over to Macedonia and help. And if we read verse 10, it says, when he had seen the vision, that's Paul, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. Notice he's not holding back from this diversion. They want to go where God wants them to go. Paul takes a totally different route to a totally different place to where maybe they thought they would go. But it's that sense of excitement of the Holy Spirit guiding them to that place where they're going to be able to share the good news of Jesus, not wasting time in places where hearts and minds might be shut. I wonder if we would be like Paul, Silas, and Timothy, allow God to interrupt our plans and lead us in a different direction. I wonder how well we try to listen for God's voice to guide us. Change is never easy, but it is good for us, we're told, and it can bring about unexpected situations and surprises, particularly if it's the Holy Spirit guiding us. For Paul, it brought about the conversion of Lydia and her household and the beginning of the first Philippian church, where Paul spoke fondly of this church in his letters to them. In Philippians 1, he says, with great joy, I remember you. Paul was thrilled by this church because it was a healthy, thriving church. It was doing really well. And it all started with a change of direction. So let's trace that direction they take from verse 11 as we had read. We see Paul, Silas, and Timothy are making their way from Troas, a northern western city of Asia Minor, where we would call probably the tip of Turkey, across the Aegean Sea to Samothrace, which is an island in the middle of that sea. And it's a volcanic island, so you probably wouldn't want to stay there too long. Then landing at Neapolis, which was a main seaport on the southern coast of Macedonia, which served several cities, and Philippi being one of them. They might not know where they were going to go once they got off the boat, but only that they'd been led to Macedonia, they're excited, and they're taking the Roman trade routes, which are the best to follow. So they arrive in Philippi and remain there for some days, it says. Well, that sentence is quite telling because we don't hear what they've been up to. So obviously nothing has been happening. It's a clue into what's been going on. They've been looking around for opportunities to share the good news. They would be looking maybe to see if there's a synagogue, to seek out faith within the city, find connections they can make so they can preach. But there seems to be nothing. A few days go by, and there is no synagogue. Synagogues, apparently, we're told, are only built when there's at least 10 Jewish men who are head of their households living in one place. So they go on the Sabbath outside of the city to find a place of prayer, which is down by the river. And apparently, it's not a law or something they have to abide by, but something that became a custom that Jews would, if there wasn't a synagogue, they would go and find a place of worship by water, maybe by the sea or by a river, and it's said to have open sky. And maybe that just became a habit they got used to doing. Maybe it was a quiet place where there wasn't lots of interference. And this was probably the last thing they were going to do before they were going to move on to another city. And then they find the women worshipping. And what do they mean, worshipping? Well, they'd have been singing psalms, looking at scripture, and apparently then they would discuss it together. And it's during that discussion, it tells us, that Lydia is listening to them. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are entering into that conversation. And as they would have used that opportunity to share Jesus, to tell them that, look, he is the appointed Messiah that you've been waiting for. So Lydia is listening to what Paul and the others are saying. It then tells us that the Lord opens her heart to listen eagerly verse 14. The Holy Spirit is moving over her heart. She becomes a believer. It then tells us her household are then baptized. Lydia opens her heart to Jesus. She allows Jesus to make his home in her heart, and then she opens up the whole of her home and business to the ministry and work of Jesus. She is no longer a worshiper of God. We're told she's a worshiper of God. She's not a Jew. She's probably not been brought up with any particular, maybe just the religion of where she came from. But she is a keen person that wants to find out. She's interested, and she's adjoining herself to these Jewish people that are worshiping, and she's following in that way. But now she has become a believer of Christ. It's not just in her heart that Christ is Lord and Savior, but that every part of her life is handed over, given over to Christ. Her life is totally transformed. She's no longer a foreign woman because she comes from Thyatira, in charge of running her business, living for this enterprise, which is a successful one, dealing in purple cloth, which is a unique and expensive commodity, but that God is ultimately in charge now. She no longer will live according to the social expectations of the society she is living and working in. Her life is turned upside down. She will stand out because of the prominent position of power she holds because of her business. People be wondering, what has happened to Lydia and her household? What's going on? She will have a powerful and effective witness to her neighbors and work colleagues who know her. From her home, the first church in Macedonia is born. She is the first European Christian, and she's a woman. Paul has broken through in his ministry to what we call Europe. A new day has begun, a new Christian church. And it starts with a woman, and it's from her home that the church will grow and will be an ongoing support to Paul and the apostles as they come and go on their missions. The church will become a healthy, strong community, and it all started with an interruption, a willingness to change course, to allow a diversion from the scheduled plan. So what does that passage have to say to us today in St. Mary's Stoke Bishop at our 9 o'clock service? Are we allowing God to interrupt our plans, as I said earlier, and lead us in another direction if his Spirit is speaking to us? We might be on the start of a Lydia-type situation to encounter. Where are we in our relationship with God for that to happen? Are we Sunday by Sunday worshippers of God? Or believers in Christ, willing not only to let Christ make his home in our hearts, but in our lives as well? Are we submitting all of us to God, willing to hear and act on the voice of God? What is it that gets in the way of us fully laying down our lives and plans to God? What is it that we fear? What are we frightened of? What is it that stops us from taking that extra step of moving forward with God, taking a risk? Well, I'm going to leave you with those thoughts, those questions, but I'm going to end with a prayer over that. And take those thoughts and keep mulling over them. What is it that we fear? What is it we won't let God interrupt in our lives? So let's pray. Father God, we want to allow you full reign in our lives, but we're aware of our fears, our hesitations, our lack of trust. Help us to move off the fence. Help us to hand over all aspects of our lives. Help us to allow you to interrupt us with your plans and diversions. Help us to trust you and to partner with you for the sake of your gospel, that we might be that one person that might be reaching out to a Lydia-type person to come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Lots to think about there. Hazel's going to come and lead us in prayer. Just as she comes forward, I was just struck as Julie was talking about how...